You may have your seats. Glory to God. So as we've been looking at the hard sayings of Jesus, this one is going to throw you completely out the loop. Last week we studied, what was the study last week? I put you on the spot, Miss Andrea. Yeah. Amen. Loving your enemies, remember? So we had a hard time. How many know that it's easy to love somebody that we like? But Jesus says, you have to love your neighbor or your enemy. We have to love our enemy. And how many know that loving our neighbor is somebody close, that is somebody that we associate with? So it's easy to love our neighbor, but can we love our enemy? Well, this week, can I tell you, the monkey wrench got thrown. Because you are going to say there's no way, because this is probably one of the hardest sayings that Jesus spoke. It is hating one's parents. How many know that that hits you deep? Can you get Luke 14:26? Okay, I'm going to pass them out. Maribel, if you can get Luke 14:28-33. John, can you get Deuteronomy 21:15? And Mark, if you can get Luke 9:23. Luke 14:26. Luke 9:23. Right now. Luke 9:23. Amen. So if go ahead and read Luke 14:26.
If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
Imagine this. Jesus says, you know, when I read this, just like you read this now, right? As you're reading it and you're saying to yourself, this is impossible, right? Because how many thought the same thing? ¿Cuántos pensaron la misma cosa cuando escucharon que dice que tienes que odiar a tus padres y tu madre, tu esposa, tus hermanos, hermanas, y también a uno mismo? Así como, si no puedes hacer eso, no puedes hacer mi discípulo. See, last week, we learned that we must love our enemies. Surely, Jesus is not saying that we can love our enemies, but hate those that are closest to us, right? Because our mother, our father, our wife, our children, our brothers and sisters, and even ourselves, there is no closer relationship that you can possibly have than those. So is Jesus saying that you must love your enemies but hate those that are closest to you? How many know that when we think of that analogy, it goes against the grain of what human nature is? How many know that we love our parents? Ask yourself this question. What is something valuable you once had to give up in order to gain something better? Anybody? ¿Qué es lo que tú dejaste que abandonar para poder obtener algo mejor? Anybody here? What is something that you had to, what is something valuable that you had to give up in order to gain something better?
Lo que entendí, mi trabajo.
Yeah, I had to give up my work.
Dejé un trabajo para obtener otro mejor.
I had to give up something to be able, a job to be able to get a better job. Anybody else? ¿Quién más?
Amistades que dejé para también obtener, no nomás amistades, también hábitos y mi manera también de comportarme.
So he had to give up friends and things that he did to be able to be better. Anybody else? What is something that you had to give up what is something valuable you had to give up in order to gain something better? Anybody else?
You have to give up your old life and your sin to get salvation.
Yep. Anybody else? There's no right answer. So what is something you had to give up? An example of what you had to give up to gain something better.
My will so that I can be in God's will.
Amen. So Jesus here, as he makes this statement, he is talking before a great multitude. And what he's doing intentionally. What he is intentionally doing is he is thinning out the crowd to be able to bring a clarity of the cost that it is going to take to follow him. See, many of us, we have we come into Christianity and we think it's going to be an easy thing. Can I tell you, yes, it is easy. But how many know that that old man inside of you does not make it easy? That old man that is you, that is who you are, it never makes it easy, because that old man that is you wants to continue and doesn't want to give himself up. And that's what Jesus is trying to bring a clarity. Listen, if you are going to follow me, it's going to cost you. And many of people right there at that moment, they count the cost and say, it's too much. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like our tithe, we have to trust and believe, you know, in our tithe, and we have to let it go. That's something we have to let go and trust God in.
You have to be able to believe God for all things. But see, when it costs us, we don't want to let it go. When we say, this is mine, because everything since we've been taught as a little kid, if you don't learn the word mom, dad, whatever word, the first word that you learn is mine. Right? That's the first words that we learn as a child, that it is mine. And Jesus here is trying to tell you and I that there is something that is going to cost you. Are you willing to let it go? Luke 14:28-33.
For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. or what king going to make a war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple.
See, so let's examine the word hate. What would hate mean to you? Mark? I put you on the spot, huh? What would hate mean to you? Or how do people use hate in everyday life here today?
Oh, I guess we'd say to like something better. To dislike something more than something else,
yep. Basically. Anybody else? How do you and I, what is the meaning of today's word hate?
Acceptance, like people want to be accepted for who they are and what they are, and if you don't, then you're being hateful.
You're hateful, right? See, in our language, anybody else? Anybody else? John in the back?
To despise something.
To despise. We hate, right? So to show hostility or abuse. But here, Jesus is not using that word, hostility, despise, abuse. He is using a Hebrew idiom, which means to love less by comparison. So in other words, are we going to love Jesus less or more than all those people that were explained in our text? Because our emotion, because we are emotionally attached. That's just human nature. That is who we are. We are emotionally attached to our parents, our spouses, most definitely our children, our kids, our grandchildren, our brothers and sisters, because there's a saying that says blood is thicker than what? Water. So, in other words, because we are blood related, our emotional attachment is going to keep, and then Jesus is saying, are you going to love them more than me? And when you make that attachment that you are going to love those more than Jesus, Jesus comes in and says, you cannot be my disciple if you are too attached in a way where you love them more than me. And Jesus is saying, you cannot be my disciple if you love anything that includes your mother, your father, your children, your brothers, your sisters, and even yourself more than me. See, in other words, we are to love God. We are to love the Lord more than anything else. Does that bring it more into a sense where God, I know you're asking me to hate God, I cannot hate. No, he's not asking you to hate. What he's doing is he's telling you that you cannot love the Lord less than you do anybody else. Go ahead.
I was tested in this a while back with my son. He was going through some problems, and I was ministering for Isaac down in the Fountain Church. And he's like, I need you guys here. I need you guys here. And I had to make a choice. Am I going to serve God? And am I going to trust God and give him to God, like give him to his hands? And am I going to just miss and completely miss out on service for somebody, you know, that needed to hear something? Am I going to make that choice? Am I going to stay or am I going to go? And it was, and he was mad at us. Like, we miss you. You're not ever at things that you used to be. And we know we all miss you being at parties and all these things. Like, I had to make a choice that night. Am I going to minister the word of God, or am I going to run to God, to my son, to try to save him? So I put it in God's hands. I ministered that night. And about a week or so later, he started coming to church. And he prayed and surrendered his heart. So
we have to make a stance, right? And it's a very, listen, can I tell you, it's a very difficult stance. That goes the same way with me. When I go home to my family in California, I don't see them a lot. And I've heard, probably just like many of you have heard this statement, you love the church. See, that's the first thing they say. You love the church. You love them, or they throw the word, you love them more than you love us. But can I tell you, because of my stance that I've made throughout the years, and those have had to be very difficult stances, because I only go and see my family in California probably once every couple of years. And the very first thing they say is, you're not going to be here but only a certain amount of days, and you would rather choose them over us. But I've made it clear that because I've made that stand, that Christ is above all things. Because in our culture, the Mexican culture, we get up early we have menudo every single Sunday at 9 o'clock. They would get out of their Sunday mass by 9:30, we were there. 10 o'clock, the whole family was there. They would tell me, we're making menudo. We need you to be here. Well, service starts at 11. I'll be there as soon as service is over. And they couldn't understand it. Just like many of people cannot understand that we cannot put anything. It's not that we are going to hate, but it is that to love less by comparison. See, Jesus cannot be just in the totem pole. He has to be at the very top of the totem pole. Are you to love God? See, we are to love God and place the Lord Christ above everything, everything. Listen, it's hard. How many know that? But we are to place him above everything else. Jesus cannot be first above many things. He has to be supreme above all things. God cannot take second place, even to our family ties. See, this is something that hits deep. This is not just a surface hurt that Jesus says you gotta hate, but this goes deep because of what? Of our attachment to our family or those that are closest to us. See, Jesus didn't say, he cannot say hate if one of the commandments is to honor your father and your mother, right? Deuteronomy, who did I give Deuteronomy 21:15?
If a man has two wives, one loved and the other unloved, and they have borne him children, both the loved and the unloved, and the firstborn son is of her who is unloved, then it shall... Is that 21:15, that's it?
Yeah, just 15.
Yep.
So, discipleship commands loyalty. Who are we going to be most loyal to? And here, Jesus brings forth the analogy of a man having two wives. One was loved, and the other one was hated. And it really brings forth, he doesn't say that he hated the other, but he loved the one less. Just like Jacob. He had many wives, but one he loved more than everything else. See, family, comfort, reputation, and our own personal ambitions cannot ever rival the same level to Jesus Christ. Luke 9:23.
And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
See, and his own life also is to dying to self. His own life. He must take up his cross daily. Can I tell you, if as we follow Christ, we have to continually remember that we have to pick up that cross and know the significance of what the cross meant. Because if we lose the meaning, then we lose the value. You know, many people, they say, they bring forth words like this, I can still follow Christ and do this. I don't have to, I had one of my nephews bring forth and tell me, he said, that's your conviction, but that's not mine. And when we bring forth and now juggle the convictions or the things that we have in Christ, can I tell you, we are in a very dangerous place. Because what we are doing is we are compromising the level of how we have to follow. See, many of people, I told somebody the other day, I said, I've never seen so many people vape as I have here in my last 8 months. I've had people tell me I can drink. I've had people tell me I can do this. So what you tell me is I can still follow Christ and smoke weed, fornicate, be an adulterer, do all these other things, amen, because those things are your conviction, but they're not mine. Can I tell you, when we pick up the cross and follow Jesus, that old man, see, when Jesus picked up the cross, it meant death. So that old man that you used to be, died. So when we come and we now follow Christ, Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple if you are unwilling to die to yourself. See, our lives are not about self-fulfillment. Jesus never said you're going to be self-fulfilled in Christianity. But it is about an execution that needs to happen. That execution needs to be to self. So who is Jesus talking about here when he says these things? He doesn't just mean, see, That's why he was addressing the crowd, the multitude. He wasn't just pointing out, Peter, you must, John, James, Bartholomew, Matthew, Jude, Judas. He was pointing out, this applies to all. Well, obviously, he must not be talking about me. No, he is. He's talking about all of us. Because if we cannot, see, if we cannot, then he says, you cannot truly follow me because you can't follow me the way you want. And that's what we want. We think we have to follow Jesus the way we want to. He said, no, there's one standard. And that standard is all. It's not a pick or choose thing. Well, I can do this, but I can't do that. And basically what we're doing is we are determining the level or the severity of what we're doing to say, I am justified or unjustified by what I do. A few questions. Is there anyone whose approval to you matters more than Christ in your life? If following Christ costs me a relationship, reputation, or even the lifestyle that I live, would you still follow Christ? There's a illustration that I saw that I found, and it says your heart should only have one throne. It cannot have multiple thrones. If Jesus is not on it, then ask yourself this question, who is? Because, you know, we like to snuggle. You know, my wife tells me, let's cuddle, let's snuggle. Right? We can't do that with Christ. There cannot be two, three, four people there. It can only be Jesus. Go ahead.
I was talking to my wife this morning about this kind of stuff. It's like the advice we get from people that are in this world, if they're trying to speak defeat and failure and all these things. You have to take everything that they tell you, everything that they try to teach you, everything they try to put in you, you have to take that to the Word of God and everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So you have to sit there and examine every word that's coming at you. And if you don't, then you will believe that defeat. You will believe that failure. You believe that that's going to fail. So you have to take everything to God and say, look, that's not what God says. That's not what God told me about my life.
Right.
This is exactly what God said, and you have to stand by that word.
We have to stand. You know, my son and another young kid, young teenager in his early teens, came to the and did an imp or Colleen sent an impact team, and my son was with me, but he tagged along with another young teenager. They were probably, one was 14, one was 16, so very young. And they go and they knock at a house. I noticed that they are, so when we're outreaching, I make sure that I kind of have a grasp of where everybody is. But in this situation, this occasion, my son was, they were there and they were, they were there for a long time. And I said, well, let me go and see what they're saying. So initially I went and I just got, as my son was right there about where Hugo is, I was there on the sidewalk and I couldn't hear, but they were still there. They're lasting they were talking. Well, the person that they were talking to was an elder of the Jehovah's Witness Church. And I noticed that they were sitting there. So when I came up and he started talking, listen, if I would not have intervened because they made everything, listen, they make everything seem so good, so innocent, that they were talking, and I heard my son and that young boy, oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's, oh, yeah, that's, see, they bring it. And if we do not, listen, if I would not have intervened, what would have been the outcome? It would have been a twisted mind. Why do my parents teach me this? Or why does the Bible teach me this? And this man is telling me this. This seems a lot better. And it can really bring a twist upon our minds if we're not careful. See, Jesus cannot, this morning, he cannot share the throne with anything. He cannot. He can't share it with your husband. He can't share it with your wife. He cannot share it with your mother. He cannot share it with your father. He cannot share it with your children. He cannot share it with your brothers, your sisters. He cannot share it even with one more of you or you being in there. The throne belongs to only Jesus. And how many know that that's a very difficult thing? But salvation cannot, you cannot bring people with you into salvation. They have to come and they have to find salvation upon their own selves. When you go and you make it into heaven, you're not going to have a whole chain of people tagging along with you. It's going to be you. It's going to be the fear and the trembling that we have that keeps us saved. Can I tell you? I have the fear of God in my life. And that's what keeps me. That's the honor. I don't fear the Lord as a fearful or they're being afraid. Because if I honor God and I put God in his, or if I honor the Lord and I put the Lord in his place, that's my honor towards who he is. That's my honor. So let me ask you this. Jesus is not trying to discourage you from loving those that are closest to you. But when we love him more, everything else falls into place. Love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your strength, with all your everything. It has to be everything. And when you do that, everything falls into place. Any questions this morning? Any comments? So what is Jesus asking us when he tells us to hate? Anybody? To love what? Love your enemies. But what is Jesus telling us when he says you got to hate and then all the people that he lined? It means you have to love them less than you do in comparison to the love of the Lord. Okay? So he's not telling us, so don't go and tell your mother, I hate you. Right? Don't go and tell your brothers, your sisters, I hate you. But what Jesus is telling us is that we have to love them less by comparison of how you and I love the Lord this morning. Amen. That's all we have. God bless you. Service at 11.